To spank or not to spank? That is the question. You know, there does seem to be a great divide these days concerning the practice of parents spanking their children. And though history and the Bible seem to be on the affirmative side of this issue, in recent years, the tide seems to be shifting toward viewing spanking as archaic, even barbaric. So whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of a culture that disagrees, our real question today on License to Parent is, what's a good parent to do? Hello and welcome to License to Parent, Act 3, Scene 1, and with apologies to William Shakespeare and Prince Hamlet, our lead in today's program will be played by none other than that star of stage and screen and the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill Academy, Trace Embry. I am his faithful understudy, Rich Rosel, and our stage is set at Shepherd's Hill, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. You can find out more about Shepherd's Hill at licensedtoparent.org. And now, as our curtain rises, we see Hamlet, Trace, shaking his head in dismay and wondering what he got himself into today.
But soft, what light through yonder window breaks?
Well, that's the wrong play, but that's a very good comeback, Trace. In all seriousness, I don't know how we got into this this whole acting topic, but really to ask the question that's facing society these days. Spanking used to be the norm as a way to discipline children, but now we do ask that question, is it okay to spank or not okay to spank? So anyway, in all seriousness, our topic of spanking is a touchy one, and we're going to touch on it today. This is true, especially in light of some high-profile cases in the news recently. I do find it interesting, though, that just as homosexuality was a practice condemned by most cultures down through history, and as a matter of fact, I don't think same-sex marriages were really ever an issue, spanking had always been acceptable, I would even say expected, until recent years. So, Trace, what is going on here?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't mean to be overly philosophical here, but it seems to me that it's nothing more than the logical outworking of the postmodern and relativistic worldview our culture has adopted over the last 50 years. It basically says, if it feels good, do it.
Yeah.
So the flip side of that is, if it feels bad, don't do it. Today, people do everything they can to avoid and relieve pain and discomfort. You know, with postmodern thought, there are no absolute standards beyond one's own individual carnal desires. If I desire a same-sex encounter, I pursue it. And this relieves me of the discomfort of my self-restraint. And you know, pain and discomfort are to be avoided at all costs, we don't want our kids to feel pain either, because then we might risk the pain of them rejecting us for the moment. But here's an interesting point, Rich. In the very process of our insatiable pursuit of pleasure and pain avoidance, we become a people of pain, in pain. Millions of kids are cutting themselves, and they're doing this, Rich, to feel better. Parents and their kids are medicating themselves with alcohol, illegal and prescription drugs, pornography, and other things to relieve pain of every kind. Just listen to today's Christian contemporary music. The subject of pain is like every third song.
Yeah.
So in a society where pain is so distorted and misunderstood, then spanking is going to get distorted and misunderstood also.
Yeah.
But bottom line, I think we've become such a mamby-pamby, soft society trying to avoid pain that virtually everything pertinent to life has become painful. And I'm talking things that in previous generations were just, you know, bumps in the road.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're gonna suffer an even greater type of pain if we don't correct the course on this. So.
Well, I think we are.
Well, Trace, let's move quickly into scene two of today's program and introduce today's guest. John Roseman is yet another repeat offender on the License to Parent program. He's appeared several times in these conversations, and we're certainly glad to have him back with us again today. John earned his master's in psychology from Western Illinois in 1971, and since then he's worked as a family psychologist. He's directed several mental health programs for children, and now spends his time speaking and writing, and that includes a syndicated column that appears in approximately 225 newspapers nationwide. John has also written 11 best-selling parenting books, and if you'd like to hear any of our past conversations with John Roseman, you'll find those programs in the program archives at licensedtoparent.org.
Well, John, thank you so much for being with us again, brother. It's a pleasure to have you on.
Oh, it's a pleasure for me as well, Trace and Rich. Thanks for inviting me back on the show.
Sure.
John, why is the subject of spanking so controversial these days? I mean, I gave my little explanation, but I'd really like to hear yours.
Well, I agree wholeheartedly with your explanation. The other aspect of this is we have embraced a secular humanist view of children. I mean, we in America sure. have embraced a secular humanist view of children that proposes that children are fundamentally good.
There you go.
That they come into the world unstained with sin, pure as the driven snow, so to speak, and the good child does not deserve to be punished. He is only behaving badly because of influences in his life, and primarily parental, that need to be understood and need to be corrected. Mm-hmm. It is his world that needs to be corrected, his environment, not him. And so that, in my estimation, is where the anti-spanking movement has arisen. It's a logical response to secular humanism.
Yeah, so it fundamentally is a worldview problem. Augustine said that a baby doesn't kill you for lack of intent. A baby doesn't kill you for lack of ability. And you go to any child care center and you have a cookie. That kid had a gun, he'd shoot you to get it. You know, they're clobbering other kids over the head to get, you know, things. It goes back to the fundamental worldview issue. You know, asking whether it's right to spank our kids is kind of like asking how much does a house cost? There are just too many variables in the equation to give an adequate one-size-fits-all answer. But how do you respond to those, and some being educated professionals, who say spanking under no conditions should ever be a parent's option?
My response to them is research-based. They are professionals. So when I am confronted with a professional, a person with capital letters after his name, who makes that claim, I will point out to them that the best research done by people who are not anti-spanking activists, and there is research being done by people like Maury Strauss at the Family Research Center at the University of New Hampshire. He is an anti-spanking activist. He has aligned himself with anti-spanking activist groups. And his research is polluted by his own worldview. Mm-hmm. But when you look at the research done by people who are bringing objectivity to the subject and applying the scientific method properly, the research clearly indicates that spanking is a positive accessory to an overall discipline plan administered by loving parents. Mm-hmm. And the two people that come into mind immediately are Robert Larzelaer at Oklahoma State and Diana Bonland, who was at the University of California. She's retired. She's in her 80s. But she is still conducting research and writing papers with Robert Larzelaer. And Diana Bonland and Bob have found that children who are occasionally, and that's an operative word, spanked in a moderate fashion, in other words, by parents who, you know, aren't trying to inflict tremendous pain, but just to get a message across, by loving parents, and that's another operative, actually score higher on measures of well-being than children who are never spanked. Hmm. So the conclusion to be drawn is that, you know, spanking is not the be-all, end-all of discipline.
Sure.
Nor should discipline be a one-note matter.
Right.
But used as an accessory to an otherwise overall effective discipline plan, it can be very effective.
Sure.
You mentioned, though, real quickly, about these folks who are anti-spanking activists. And I know that activists, one of their first roles and one of the first successes they see is suddenly making whatever their cause is politically incorrect. And with all of this thought that spanking is not the politically correct thing to do, is that what is perhaps driving the larger movement away from spanking as a disciplinary option?
Well, yes, in part. And these folks, like Maury Strauss, the fellow I mentioned earlier, who is a leading figure in the anti-spanking movement, which, you know, that in and of itself has compromised his objectivity. And I've debated Murray, and he's unable in a logical, clear fashion to defend his position. Mm-hmm. He falls back on sound bites.
Right.
And, you know, the sound bites are spanking is abusive. It teaches a child that hitting is an acceptable way of responding to people who make you upset, and so on and so forth. And I point out to him that not only does the research not corroborate what he's saying, research done by people who, unlike himself, are objective, but he's using a false analogy.
A lot of straw man involved.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the idea that spanking is, I mean, hitting is okay when dealing with somebody who's upset you is a false analogy. Because the proper spanking is not administered by a parent who is upset. That is not the reason the parent is administering the spanking. Unfortunately, Rich and Trace, the fact of the matter is that there are parents out there who spank in a very, very inappropriate fashion.
No doubt.
So what people come up to me and they say, well, what do you think about spanking? And my immediate answer is that I think most parents are spanking in a very inappropriate way. Most parents are spanking badly. They need to be educated as to how to use that disciplinary option in a proper and loving fashion.
Right. And you got those people who call it an act of violence.
Well, again, a properly administered spanking is not an act of violence, and a child is able to discriminate between violence that is being done to him and being spanked for a legitimate reason by loving parents. Right. This is, again, it's another straw man. It's another false analogy.
Yeah. Real quickly, I wanted to just to bring this out because we were talking about, is spanking an act of violence? I looked up violence on online, and Merriam-Webster, the short definition they give for violence is the use of physical force to harm someone, to damage property, etc. And then a secondary one would be great destructive force or energy, as in a violent storm. I think we could all agree, and I hope that parents would agree, that our intent, our desire through spanking, is to bring about a proper change of course, to enact discipline. But there is no harm desired in any way, shape, or form. So, I would hope that a thinking person, again a critical thinking person, could remove that from the table.
Exactly, but the problem is, if discipline of whatever sort does not cause the child discomfort, then it has been worthless.
Right.
And Paul reinforces this in, I believe it's Colossians or Romans, where he says, I'm sort of biblically dyslexic, so pardon me, but he says that no discipline feels good at the time.
Right.
None. And what that means is that a discipline that does not cause a child discomfort, some degree of psychic pain, is not worth the time and energy expended on.
That's exactly right. But when pain is the unpardonable sin in a culture, then you've got another issue.
Yeah, I think the challenge here for parents is recognizing that there's a significant difference between pain and harm.
Good point.
Our guest today is speaker, author, and parenting expert John Rosemond. His nationally syndicated newspaper column appears in about 225 papers, and you can find out more about that and his 11, count them, 11 best-selling parenting books on his website at rosemond.com. That's R-O-S-E-M-O-N-D.com. And you can find out more about our show, of course, at licensedtoparent.org. We're going to take a quick break, back with more conversation right after this.
Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. This is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, and our broadcast comes to you from Shepherd's Hill Academy, located just north of Atlanta, a year-long residential program serving teens and their families of teens in crisis. And Trace, we've been talking today about a touchy topic, one of our many touchy topics here, and that of spanking, with our guest John Rosemond. And during the break, you mentioned an interesting study that a lot of people may not have heard, but what is this about the effect of spanking that we might not have realized?
Yeah, I think studies are often only as good as the ones interpreting the results and the legitimate motives of the underwriters of some of these studies. But John, can you talk about the studies that claim spanking actually lowers a child's IQ?
Well, I'll talk about this in general. A study is only as in the social sciences. Let me amplify what you just said. A study in the social sciences is only as good as the researcher's worldview.
Right.
Is coherent. If the researcher's worldview is not accurate and coherent, then the study is not going to produce accurate results.
The guy goes into the studies or the team with certain presuppositions, is what you're trying to say.
Exactly. I mean, precisely.
Prove anything with studies.
Yeah, and this distinguishes good research in the social sciences from bad, is that these people with a leftist, secularist, humanistic agenda are, in fact, because the research in America, especially in the social sciences, is being produced from America's universities. And America's universities have been taken over, by and large, the secular humanist left.
No doubt about that.
And especially the social sciences departments. So these folks are bringing overwhelmingly this secular humanist agenda to their research. They are simply trying to prove what they already believe to be true.
That's right.
This means that their research is not objective at all. Mm-hmm. Robert Larzelaire, I mentioned him earlier. He was Murray Strauss's graduate research assistant at the University of New Hampshire. A very, very ethical man. And he realized into his tenure with Murray Strauss that Strauss was designing research that was guaranteed to yield the results he wanted the research to yield. And he has since actively broken away from Murray Strauss and has become an active, very vocal critic of Murray Strauss's research.
Interesting.
On this basis.
Interesting. How many points are they claiming is actually reduced off the IQ for kids that have been spanked?
And is it a per spanking decline, or is it an overall cumulative effect?
Well, what they do is they take a population of people who have been spanked. This is the caveat to this discussion, if you will. There is probably no doubt whatsoever that parents with lower IQs are probably inclined to spank more than parents with higher IQs. And so what you find if you look at an adult population is that, in general, the more a child reports having been spanked as a child, the lower his IQ is, because he was not raised by well-educated parents who themselves emphasized education and so on and so forth. He was predisposed to having some negative effect to his IQ. Right. So the conclusion drawn is that spanking lowers IQ. Well, that's not the proper conclusion to draw at all.
Thank you.
But this is the kind of pre-structuring of research that these people are doing in order to arrive at the conclusions that they, like I said, already believe to be true.
One thing you could say is a smart person who has no self-discipline is less capable of contributing to society in a useful, productive way than a person who perhaps doesn't have all the smarts but is able to work well within the framework of society and the people around it.
Well, it goes back to the difference between intelligence and wisdom, basically.
Yes, exactly.
I was teaching a Department of Juvenile Justice group, and I asked the question, what's your biggest fear in raising your kids today? And the answer was going to jail for disciplining my child. What counsel do you have for parents who are afraid that their child's going to call the
Department of Family Children's Services?
Yeah, you know, for spanking them. Because a lot of parents don't really realize that spanking is legal in all 50 states.
Well, you're absolutely right. The federal government has not outlawed spanking. No state has outlawed spanking. No municipality has outlawed spanking. But the problem is that because of this widespread misbelief, that spankings are illegal and that you can get into legal trouble for them, because of this, departments of social services are enforcing a de facto ban against spanking. Mm-hmm. And so if someone reports to a Department of Social Services, a government child protective services agency, that a child has been spanked, these people will investigate the claim. And the investigation violates constitutional rights. An investigation that violates the protection against unreasonable search and seizure. It violates the constitutional protection against being accused by someone that you cannot confront. It's a unconstitutional investigation. And one of the things that I say to people all over the country is we need to begin examining our political candidates on this issue and emphasizing to them how important this issue is and electing people to legislative positions who will take steps to rein in the zealous excesses of child protective services agencies all over the country. But my practical advice to parents is don't spank your child in public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if for no other reason, then it's rude because it upsets people.
Right, exactly. Right.
Nobody wants to see a child spanked at a public place.
Yeah.
If you're going to spank your child, take him to a place that is completely private, where there are no witnesses. Have the pre-conversation, spank the child, have the post-conversation, wait until the child stops crying, and then go back into the public arena.
Yeah.
You know, there's a practical reason for this, and there is also a love-your-neighbor reason for this.
Yeah. And the last time Rich spanked his 28-year-old son in public, it did cause a bit of a stink.
So. It did. And he's stronger than I am.
And yeah, speaking... I'm going to have to report that, Rich. I have a civic duty to report that. So.
And speaking of adult sons, in 1 Samuel 3:14, the Old Testament priest Eli was condemned. His two contemptible sons, maybe they were teenagers, maybe not, I don't know, were killed, his posterity cursed, because the scripture says Eli failed to restrain them. How are parents of teenagers, when push comes to shove, supposed to restrain their teens without being accused of being abusive? I mean, let's say Junior's told not to leave the house and go drinking with his buddies. He says, blank you, I've had all your Christian garbage I can stand, and he walks out the door. What's a dad to do? Junior gets in the face of mom and maybe hits her or pushes her or you. I mean, right here, I'm thinking, yeah, Jesus said, let the little children come to me, but he also took a whip and drove the money changers and the animals out of the temple, and yet did not sin. So I'll hand it over to you to take it from there.
Yeah, we'll let you put it.
Well, Trace, a little pitch for Shepherd's Hill here. When a parenting situation has gotten to the point where the child is out of control, defiant, belligerent, disrespectful, as you just described, then I tell parents, look, the likelihood of you being able to retrieve the situation without the assistance of a third party is minimal.
That's true.
Slim to none. And I quite frequently, as a matter of fact, tell parents, this is why, God invented places like Shepherd's Hill to provide, if nothing else, just breathing space between parent and child for a period of time so that, people can get their wits together again.
Sure. Yep. John, I'm afraid our time has come to a close here. Any final thoughts for us before we say goodbye?
The Bible has the best parenting plan in it that's ever been devised should surprise no one.
Amen.
It is everything that the plan set forth by psychologists and other mental health professionals over the last 50 years is not. We need to once again restore a biblical understanding of child rearing into our culture.
Very good.
And with that, hearkening back to our theatrical opening on the program, the curtain comes down. John, thanks so much for being with us. It's always a pleasure, and we look forward to speaking with you again in a few months.
I'll look forward to it as well. Thanks, guys.
God bless you, John.
Our guest today is speaker, author, and parenting expert, John Roseman. His nationally syndicated newspaper column appears in approximately 225 newspapers, very likely one near you. You can find out more about his 11 best-selling parenting books on his website at rosemond.com or, of course, at amazon.com. And this is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, helping teens and families of teens in crisis for over 20 years. Learn more at licensedtoparent.org. That is our program for today. So for Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you back again next time to renew your license to parent.
And remember, parents, if you don't train your children, somebody else will. God bless you. We'll see you next time.